Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is our text. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and calls him Rabbi, which means teacher. Now, to call Jesus teacher is high praise from a Pharisee like Nicodemus, who himself is a teacher of Israel. And yes, I know that when Nicodemus calls Jesus teacher, that Jesus is way more than just a teacher. Nicodemus doesn't know that yet, but he will soon. He'll find out. So Nicodemus, who is a teacher, as he comes to Jesus, becomes Nicodemus the student. And Jesus begins teaching him. Jesus doesn't even wait for a question, but like a good teacher, he starts right in and he begins at the beginning with the basics. Because if you don't start with the beginning, if you don't start with the fundamentals and the basics, you won't get the rest. When you learn to read, you don't start with Les Miserables. You begin with A, B, C, and Dick and Jane. When you learn math, you don't start with calculus, but you begin with 1 + 1. And when you learn to sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi. You learn the fundamentals, or else all the rest will go wrong. And even if you know calculus, and you're doing a really advanced problem, and you can do all of the calculations perfectly, but you mess up on 1 + 1, your answer will be wrong. If you're a little bit off at the beginning, then you'll be way off at the end. It's that way with any sort of project or building sort of thing. You build a road, and if you're offline at the beginning, you'll be way off when it gets to the end. You need the beginning to be right. You need the fundamentals right. You need the foundation right, or all the rest will be wrong. And so that's where Jesus starts with Nicodemus. At the beginning, with the foundation, with the basics. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everything starts with birth, with the new birth, and goes from there. But you know how it is with Nicodemus. He doesn't quite get it. So, like a good teacher, Jesus repeats his answer, but in a slightly different way. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the new birth that Jesus is describing is not just a physical rebirth, but it's one that comes by water and the Spirit. The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the earth in the beginning with the creation is the Spirit that now works through water to create spiritual life. It's all the work of God. Physical life is the work of God. Spiritual life is the work of God. It's not our work. In the beginning, think about Genesis. It was God's word plus water plus his Spirit hovering over the waters that brought forth life and creation. And so it is still. God's word plus his water plus his Spirit equals new life and new creation. And that's what Jesus tells Nicodemus. There is the basic fact of our spiritual life begins not with us, but with God and his word and his Spirit. And Nicodemus still doesn't get it. Nicodemus is just dumbfounded. It all sounds so strange to him. How can these things be, he says. What started out for Nicodemus as just a seemingly small error of theology has made him so far off, he can't even understand what Jesus is saying. In fact, Nicodemus is so far off in his theology that he can't see that sitting right in front of him is God's Messiah. The Messiah who's been talked about through all the pages of Scripture that he knows so well, that he teaches to others. That Messiah is sitting there. And Nicodemus's understanding has gone off in a far direction. So Nicodemus asks questions that don't really even make sense. He asks things that don't pertain. Like, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? Really, Nicodemus? Is that what you think Jesus is saying? It's all about the beginning. You see, Nicodemus is thinking about what man does or what man can do or about what man must do. Jesus is talking about what God does, about what God has promised. Nicodemus is thinking of how man can get to God. Jesus is talking about how God comes to man. Nicodemus is thinking of works. Jesus is talking grace, talking gift from God. So it's no wonder that Nicodemus is so confused. He's starting from the wrong place. This is a whole different way of thinking. And it's why so many in our world are confused about religion. When it comes to religion and spirituality, so many think first that it's about what we do or what we can do or about what we must do. They think that it's about man's free will or man's works or man's decisions. But if that's the starting point, or if that's even a little bit of where you're starting from, then the end is going to be so far away from the truth. Because man isn't the beginning at all. The beginning is God. Whether it's things physical or things spiritual, the beginning is God. It's all about God descending to man. It's all about God's promises. In the beginning, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, when Adam and Eve were cowering in the garden and they were afraid, what happened? God came to them, and God called to them, and God promised them. That's the way it was with Adam and Eve. God came, God called, and God promised. The promise of a Savior. And then this coming and this calling and this promising were repeated all throughout the Scriptures, through the Old Testament. We heard in our first reading today, God came to a man named Abram, later called Abraham, who didn't even know him, a man who worshipped false gods. God came to him and God called him and God made a promise to him. The promise of a land and of a Savior. And then down through the generations, with Isaac and with Jacob and with Moses and with Joshua and with David and with Solomon, all the way through, God kept coming and God kept calling and God kept promising. First, God gave them something to believe in. First, he gave them a promise to trust. First, he gave them a promise to live by. And you know, all those people, from Abraham to Moses to David, they did what they did because they first believed what had been promised. They trusted what God said. That's how it works. Now, another example that Jesus alludes to in the discussion with Nicodemus is the example of the bronze serpent on that pole in the wilderness from Numbers chapter 21. And maybe that was a reading recently that Nicodemus had looked at. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, think about that time in the wilderness with the people and the bronze serpent. What did the people do then? What was their work there in the wilderness? All they were doing was getting bit by serpents. All they were doing was dying of that poison. And what happened? God came. And God called them to faith, and God promised them healing and life when they looked at the image put up on the pole. God came, and he called, and he promised. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? God didn't come to the people in the wilderness who were dying from those bites and demand that they do something. He simply gave them a promise to trust, to believe in, and they did. And then Jesus goes one step further with Nicodemus, and he says, Nicodemus, this is what's happening now. Because just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so now a man is going to be lifted up, the Son of Man, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus, this is the fulfillment of all that coming and all that calling and all that promising that God has done down through the ages. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The man who will be lifted up for the life of the world, the Son of Man, is also the Son of God. God coming to be lifted up, God calling to us, and God fulfilling all of his promises right there. Look to him and not to yourself for life. That's what Jesus teaches Nicodemus. The looking to ourselves for life rather than to God is the temptation we so often face. Looking to ourselves for life is the problem we have. And it's especially easy to think this way at times during the season of Lent. The Lenten season, perhaps for you, as for many of us, can be a season when we focus on spiritual disciplines, practices, things that are good for us as Christians to do. And that's not bad. But if we're looking to ourselves for life, we're looking to our own practices for life, then we're going to be way off in the end. That's not the fault of Lent, of course. It's not the fault of any disciplines like prayer or fasting or giving to the needy. Those are good things. The fault is with our sin, with our constant desire to turn things back to ourselves and make it about our work rather than God's. Sin makes us think that what we do, good or bad, is the foundation, the beginning. Sin makes us coil in on ourselves and turn away from God. Sin separates us from him, so that we try to make the best of it and live by our own strength. And you know who loves it when we do that? When we try to live by our own strength, when we try to pull ourselves up by the spiritual bootstraps and do it ourselves, Satan loves it. Oh, he doesn't mind anyone having religion or spirituality, so long as your religion and spirituality is about you trying to do it yourself, with your own strength, relying on what you can do, because he knows that when you rely on yourself, you are his. He knows that when you rely on yourself, you're going to end up so far apart from where God is. That's why in our prayer earlier, that collect of the day, the little prayer we pray before our readings, we said this: O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. No strength. That's the beginning of true spirituality. That's the foundation, the repentance that despairs of ourselves and our own strength, the confession that I need help, the confession that I need forgiveness, the confession that I can't do it. By your mighty power, we prayed, defend us, protect us, save us. By the mighty power of the cross, rescue us. As Israel looked the snake in the wilderness on the pole in faith, and they lived, so look to the Son of Man on the cross in faith and live. And look to where that crucified one has promised to be for you today in his word and in his sacraments. And like Nicodemus long ago, many will ask today as well, how can that be? How can baptism or absolution or Holy Communion be what you say it is? Well, if you start in the wrong place, if you get 1 + 1 wrong, then these gifts make as little sense as what Jesus said to Nicodemus. If the foundation and the starting place is about what we do, then we'll end up misunderstanding these things in the end. But go back to the basics again. Whose doing is it? Whose work is it in all of these things? It's all God's doing. It's all God coming and God calling and God promising and God giving. Faith itself is God's work. It's his doing. Forgiveness is his doing. New life is his doing. It comes from above. We are born again from above. We are fed from above. You don't have to get up and go up and get these things from above. You don't have to find your way to God or to heaven. How could you? But God, as always, brings them down to us. He comes to visit us where we are, all the way down to things that we can hear and that we can touch and that we can taste. Simple things for us simple people. And so God comes and promises in words and in water and in bread and wine and gives to us what Jesus won and accomplished on the cross. Way better than a snake on a pole. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. Just as God didn't send the snakes in the wilderness to condemn the people, but to save them, so Jesus hasn't come to condemn us, but to save us. The world already stands condemned. If God did nothing, that's what the result would be. But God didn't do nothing. And he didn't just do something, anything. No, God did this. He sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus, to save and to give life. Jesus came into the world from God, and he was lifted up on the cross for one purpose only, that we might live. To give you the new life that comes from above, to give you eternal life, to give from his cross to your baptism these gifts, and from his cross to the absolution you hear these gifts, and from his cross to this holy communion, these gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Faith in Jesus looks to him and receives these gifts and clings to these gifts. And that's what makes us children of Abraham, and even better, that's what makes us children of God. And that's the ABCs, the 1-2-3s of the faith. And even if you're a Christian who knows the scriptures well, even if you can recite everything backwards to front, keep going back to the basics. Keep returning to these fundamentals, to holy scripture, and to the 6 chief parts that God reveals and teaches there, to the commandments and the creed and the Lord's Prayer and to baptism and absolution and the sacrament of the altar. And go back to the place where God is the one doing and God is the one working and God is the one giving. Because Jesus never tires of teaching us these heavenly things, and he certainly never tires of giving us his heavenly gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.